Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Community Matters here on 103.7 WEEI. I'm your host, Scott Cordishi. Glad you could join us. Community Matters comes your way each and every Saturday morning, keeps you up to date and in touch with many of the great things happening in and around our communities, right here in the state of Rhode Island, also in eastern Connecticut and in southeastern Massachusetts. And this morning, we welcome back to the program a previous guest, the host of Public Television's Animal Talk, Karen Kaloonian, is with us. Karen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to come on and talk to you everything animals.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. And certainly we appreciate all that you do to, I think, raise awareness for all of our animal shelters and rescues throughout the state that are in need of people, you know, adopting pets and rescuing pets. And, you know, I know that's something that you try to do with Animal Talk, right? You try to find forever homes for pets, mainly dogs and cats, but it could be other animals as well, correct?
Oh, yes. We've done all kinds of animals for sure. We actually go to the Rhode Island Parrot Rescue very often. And of course, in many of the local shelters here in Rhode Island, you'll find what they call smallies. So there's either, you know, guinea pigs or rabbits, you know, they have all different types of things. Ferrets, we've come across a little bit of everything. Recently, there's even been a rooster, so you never know what you'll find. So yes, mainly the focus is cats and dogs, and because that's just typically what is found in local animal shelters and rescues. But yeah, we spend a lot of time visiting shelters and rescues, foster-based as well, across the state of Rhode Island, trying to help promote these animals and tell a little bit of their story so that people can get some sort of an idea, because it is a process to go out and adopt. People find sometimes it's difficult, actually. They say, I filled out an application here, and then I've got to go somewhere else and fill out another application. So what we do at Animal Talk is try to put photos and a little video and some basic information about the animal, so it makes the process a little less arduous. And instead of running all around, you can come right to Animal Talk and take a look and see what's out there and get a better idea.
Karen, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of information about your background and how you became involved with this? What made you decide to want to start this show, Animal?
Well, this actually started about 15 years ago. And if you go to Rhode Island PBS, you'll see a little video clip about how this all actually started. But my dog had passed away and, you know, of course, feeling lonely and sad and all of that. My daughter was working in theater at that time and needed a dog to do a show called Annie. I'm sure everybody's familiar with Annie. And so I said to her, hey, you know, maybe we can check out some animal shelters and see if we could utilize one of their adoptables, never knowing it would actually work. And so we did. We hooked up with a local animal rescue and borrowed one of their dogs, and with the hope that if it was seen on stage multiple times, it would end up getting adopted. Long story short, that dog got adopted, and we were sort of, you know, oh, this is really great, right? So maybe we can help another one in a different way. And then just it sort of evolved. But through the years of being involved, at first as a volunteer, and then actually as a worker in an animal shelter, I just kept saying to myself, there's got to be something more to this, a bigger way that I can help on a larger stage, so to speak. And so I just started first at the Warwick Beacon, putting photos in there with a little bio about a pet. And then that evolved into more print work. I do the Providence Journal, Rhode Island Monthly. If you look in at just about any publication, if there's a picture of a pet, I've probably done it. And now with this collaboration with Rhode Island PBS is just an amazing bigger step for people to be able to see things visually on television and, of course, on the internet. So it's really really exploded into something bigger than I ever thought it would be. And I'm so grateful.
In your email to us, you talked about how post-COVID, the shelters are really starting to fill up, and there is maybe more of a need now for adoption and rescue than there ever was. I know you visit animal shelters throughout the state. What are you seeing?
To be honest with you, Scott, it's almost, I'm afraid to say the word because we always say it to each other in animal rescue, but it is at a crisis level. I think maybe during COVID, because everybody was home and felt like they could get a pet, everybody, you know, adopted or began to foster and maybe fell in love and kept the animal. And now we're seeing, you know, an influx of animals coming in many different ways. You know, to start with, there's always stray animals that, you know, end up in shelters, or people may pass away and have no other choice for where the animal should go. But it's not just that, it's people surrendering pets for multiple reasons. And, you know, there are always financial issues with people, but a lot of it is just, okay, I'm sort of done with this now. And that's the heartbreaking part that we see on our side. You know, pets are family. I don't even like to call them pets. I like to call them family members or companion animals. And it's heartbreaking, not just for the animal, but for us on this side of the coin, so to speak, on the side that we see a lot of sadness. You know, the joy in what I do is the final outcome when the animal gets readopted into a loving home. And so it's really very difficult right now in shelters and rescues across the United States and probably beyond, but there are animals waiting everywhere. So if you can't adopt, and I understand a lot of people can't for whatever reason, they work a lot, financial issues, you know, they're living in an apartment, it's not conducive, please reach out and see if you can foster, even if it's for a short time. Take an animal home for a weekend, give it some time out of a shelter. So there's a lot of ways you can help.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned that twice now, foster homes. And I didn't realize that was something that's common in terms of pet adoption, just foster homes, which could be temporary homes or temporary homes that I'm sure in many cases turn into permanent homes, right? They foster the pet and they fall in love with the pet and they said, no, I'm
going to. You're so right. We call that a foster failure, but I call it, you know, like the thumbs up. That's not a foster failure. That's the real deal. And so, yes, it's really important for these animals to get out of the shelter environment. We get to see more of what they're like in a home environment. You know, shelter environments are difficult just to begin with. As much love and attention as the staff tries to give them, they are still, you know, enclosed in kennels, and they don't get out as often as they should. It's just the nature of what animal rescue does. So we really encourage people to foster or volunteer. Go and walk dogs. Go and set up your, you know, if you've got an hour a week, it makes such a huge difference. Take a dog out for a walk, take it out for a ride. We say, go get them a pup cup, you know, filled with whipped cream and let them have some fun. Yeah. So there's really a lot of ways. And if you don't have time to do any of that, and everybody is busy, we get it, you can help in other ways. You can always donate. It doesn't have to be monetary. It could be, hey, find out where your local shelter is and drop off a box of dog bones or some toys, or, you know, there's so many things you can do. And please, I would love your listeners to reach out to me. You know, there's multiple ways to contact me, and I'm sure you folks will put that information out there, and I'd be happy to guide people through that process.
Well, why don't you put that information out there right now for our listeners? How can they
contact? Sure, sure. I mean, if you're on social media, I'm on every platform there is. It's Animal Talk 19. The number 19 is always there. My logo is like half dog and half cat. I say it's a half pity and a half kitty. So if you're looking for me that way, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. And then if you'd like to email me, I can say my email. It's a little bit long, but it's animaltalk1920@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. So you talked about, you know, there's many ways that you can help, right? There's a need for volunteers, a need for donations. And tell us about all the different ways people can support their local shelters or rescues.
Again, so feel free to contact the shelter that's closest to you. Some shelters are municipal shelters. That means that they're run by their city that they're in, and they might have different rules and regulations. And then there are other types of shelters that are 501c3, which are nonprofit, and they probably have their set of rules too. So double check to see which place might be a little bit easier for you to start to help with. You can take donations. You can get your kids involved. You can have your kids do some sort. I've seen kids do lemonade stands and raise lots of money. And it's very rewarding because when the child gets to go in and see the animals actually in the shelter and maybe even get to pet a puppy or a kitten or whatever and make their donation, it starts to let our youth get involved as well. So there's just so many things you can do. I mean, crazy ideas. Come up with something really unique and different, whatever that may be. I mean, I never thought all these years ago by me taking pictures and just writing small little things about these animals that it would turn into this big thing. And I'm not a professional photographer by any means, but it was just a passion of mine. And I just felt as if someone could see me with the animal and I could showcase that, that it would just give that many more people an opportunity to see what that animal might be like with the human. So for, you know, for kids, you can get involved. For adults, again, a lot of people are home. You know, some elderly folks might be home alone and they might say, hey, maybe I'd like to have a cat come and stay with me for a short time. Cats are available for fostering. I mean, just about every shelter in this state utilizes foster homes. So that is so key. Yep. And then again, going there and taking the animals out, it just helps not only the animal, it helps the staff in the shelters and rescues. There are foster-based rescues, just foster-based. They don't have a brick and mortar facility. Yep. So you can just reach out to a foster-based rescue, which again, if you don't know who they are, I'd be happy to help folks find them. And they do all of their rescue just through foster homes. So it's really an intricate sort of, you know, thing where people don't understand all that goes on behind the scenes, but there's a lot to it.
What's the best way for people to find out where the nearest animal shelter or rescue is near them? Is it just simply to Google it, you know, nearest animal shelter near me? I mean, how do people?
Sure, sure. Most cities in the state do have a municipal shelter. And then if they don't, just Google animal shelters of Rhode Island, you know, that are in Rhode Island, and most will come up in the Google search, and then you can sort of figure out who's the closest. Again, the foster-based rescues, it doesn't matter what city they are in. If you want to foster for them, you just connect with them, and it doesn't matter. Just because they might be based out of Warwick, you can foster for them in Foster. Yep. So it doesn't really matter with foster-based rescues. The other way, if you want to go in and out of a shelter, it's best to find one that's closest to you.
You know, I remember when we got our dog. We have an 8-year-old miniature dachshund. I grew up with dachshunds, so I'm very partial to them. But in any event, we started at the local rescues. At the time, we went to multiple rescues, and pretty much the only dogs that were available were pit bulls. And we had two young kids, and we were a little bit hesitant to rescue a pit bull and bring it into the house. Now, I say that, and you know, people need to understand this. My first job ever was at a dog kennel up in Boxford, Massachusetts. So I walked the dogs, I fed the dogs.
So you are the person that we need every.
Well, no, and I say this like it's not the breed; it's how the dog is raised. One of my favorite dogs at that kennel was Dudley, a pit bull, and he was the dopiest, most lovable dog that I've ever met. My other favorite dog was a Rottweiler called Rommel, who I absolutely loved as well, was just so kind-hearted. So, you know, it's not the breed, it's how the dog is raised that determines his attitude or her attitude.
And see, Scott, that's exactly what I want people to understand. And that's why I do what I do, because sometimes people have this preconceived notion. And honestly, you know, because I'm a little bit older, I understand how through the years people have had different issues with different breeds. You know, first it was maybe the German Shepherd, and then it was the Pit Bull, and then it was the Rottweiler. And so, and you know, it doesn't matter. You're right. It's really about the dog and your connection with that dog. And sometimes dogs that are in shelter environments are stressed, and so it's difficult to get to know the real dog. And so I encourage people to not to just go in and the first dog they see, and or buy a picture, don't judge, go in and spend time with the dog and ask if you can go outside with it or take it for a walk and sit quietly and get to know the animal, because they need to de-stress and decompress. And like you said, you got to spend time with those dogs back in the day and you got to know the real dog. And it don't ever, you know, the old saying, don't judge a book by its cover, because you might go in thinking you want one thing and you might end up with something completely different. And I've seen that happen so many times over the years.
You talked earlier about social media. In addition to your show on PBS Animal Talk, as you mentioned, you're on social media everywhere, Animal Talk 19. And the great thing you do there is you post pictures with a little story about a dog, a cat, whatever the pet might be that's in need of being rescued or adopted. And I think that's a great way, too, for people to maybe see what's out there, right? I mean, if they follow you on social media, they'll constantly see those posts.
Right. And a lot of the videos that I do are actually done in the shelter. So sometimes, you know, the dog will be jumping all around, they'll jump and kiss my face or whatever they do. But it shows a little bit of their true personality. And, you know, just that they're having so much joy in that moment of being silly and goofy with me. And I do try to keep the information as basic as possible. I just tell a little bit about the breed and the age, a little bit about what I find in the temperament of the dog. And it's all, they're quick little videos because I don't want to just keep going on and on and on. So I just, you know, they're all within a minute so people can get a quick idea. And then I encourage people then to contact the shelter and speak to the staff directly, because they spend, you know, the most time with these animals. I'm just there for a short little intervals to meet as many as I possibly can and promote as many as I can.
In addition to what you do with Animal Talk, I'm sure you're a proud mom as well. Your daughter, Kim, has been such a strong presence in our local media as a respected journalist for WPRI. And did I see recently on social media, did she celebrate some type of milestone with WPRI? Was it like a dozen years or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yes. And thank you, yes. I blame Kim for all of this, for me getting involved with all these animal things, by the way. So, Kim, if you listen to this, you know what I mean. But yes, she's been with WPRI for 9 years now, and okay. I'm so proud of the work that she does. And she's a huge animal advocate herself. And hey, if you can't reach me, you can reach Kim and she'll connect you with me.
Terrific. Before we wrap things up, Karen, again, just kind of bringing things full circle. What's your, you know, underlying message to people listening that, you know, might want to help out?
I really encourage people to just take a chance, you know, step into an animal shelter and see what it's all about. Talk to the people there. Realize that I think people don't understand the magnitude of how many animals are actually waiting. If you don't look at that every day like I do, and you're not immersed in the animal industry, you don't realize it. But there are hundreds of thousands, I would say, of animals. And unfortunately, here in Rhode Island, we're really pretty good about making sure that they all find loving homes. But across, you know, some of the states in the United States, animals unfortunately are being euthanized for space. Not that these animals are ill or have behavioral issues. It's really just about space. And so that's why I ask people so often, if you have the space, I say, if you have the room in your heart and in your home, please, you know, help as much as you can in whatever way you can. And it, you'd be surprised. You know, people always say, well, I don't have the money, I don't have the time. You don't need either one to help. Trust me. Yep. And I can guide them through that process.
A great message. Karen, thank you so much for all that you do and for joining us once again on the show. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, Scott. And I look forward to coming back again. And, you know, happy holiday.
Thank you. Same to you. Karen Kalunian, the host of Public Television's Animal Talk, our guest here on Community Matters. My thanks to Karen for joining us this morning. Thanks to my producer, Laura Minicucci. And of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in. My name is Scott Cordici. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Community Matters with your host, Scott Cordici. If your group or organization would like to be part of the show, email us at communitymatters@weei.com.